Gilman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios. Today, we are at Pinewood Social downtown. Again, we are hanging out here for Pinewood Madness. That's 33 Peabody Street for Patio SEC Watch Party presented by Guinness. And, of course, we are giving away SEC tournament tickets for tomorrow. Come on out, register to win. You got to be here to win them, and we'll give them away in the 5 o'clock hour. You heard it there at the end of the last segment and in Ian's update. The Tennessee Titans have finally, mercifully, released Andre Dillard, one of the worst free agent signings probably in the history of the NFL. And I was doing the numbers during the break. Andre Dillard, according to Pro Football Focus, allowed 41 pressures on 331 pass snaps. That is 12.5% of every pass snap Andre Dillard allowed a pressure. And that includes, like, bubble screens, right, where there's no way that you could even give that up. He allowed a sack on 4% of the pass snaps that he played in. Meanwhile, Trent Williams, this is the difference between great and Andre Dillard, zero sacks on 438 pass blocking snaps. Unbelievable. And the one thing I'll say before we get to your phones on this at 615-737-1025, and this is not a, it is. I was going to say this is not a knock on Rand Carthon, but it kind of is. The boohoo Rand crew will get upset about this. But the fact that we, as we waited and waited and waited and waited for them to release Andre Dillard, the fact that we questioned amongst ourselves, and I certainly had it in the back of my head that there was a possibility that they might actually keep Andre Dillard, the fact that we had to discuss it like it was a legitimate possibility shows you what we all really think, you know, how nervous we are about whether or not Rand actually is a good GM or not, because if we had faith in the GM, we wouldn't even think that it's a possibility that they would bring back Andre Dillard. So, I mean, I'm just happy. I'm just happy it's over, and we will forever mean that Andre Dillard in our hearts. We will forever know that. One texter says, Jared, I imagine the reason that they kept Andre Dillard for as long as they did was because Bill Callahan wanted extra time to evaluate all the linemen. I would have just said, you know, don't even worry about looking at his tape. Seriously. Like, don't even worry about it. Wes in Clarksville says, Rand must be listening to your show and heard you talking about Andre Dillard. I don't think that's the case. I would really hope that that's not the case. Yeah, Dustin in Hopkinsville, Kentucky says the same thing. They freaking heard you guys talking, and they said, take that, Jared, and they released Andre Dillard. I can't imagine that's the case. But I do. I do think that there's a lot of listening to this show in that building. And I don't know who's doing it. I feel like they probably listen. First of all, everybody listens, right? Like, if there was a show that talked about your life every day and constantly talked about whether or not you were good at your job, you would listen. As much as it would probably piss you off sometimes, you would listen. I mean, I would listen if there was a, you know, oh, let's talk about if Jared's a good talk show host or not. I would listen. But I also just kind of, you know, see things. That being said, I don't think that Andre Dillard had anything to do with me, because I think that, again, Andre Dillard's problems revolved around Andre Dillard. Skyler says Andre Dillard should have been cut in week 12 of last season. And that, I think, is, you know, I'm not sure they really had that choice. But you know what's crazy about Andre Dillard? As bad as Andre Dillard was, Jalen Duncan was just as bad. And that's how sad all of last season was. They had the worst left tackle I've ever seen in my life. And they finally couldn't play him anymore. So they put in another guy who was as bad, if not worse, as the worst guy I've ever seen in my life. Which was unbelievable. And I'm not here to rehash last season, but it is, you know, kind of the remembrance of Andre Dillard as he has been officially released by the Titans. The Titans announced the signing of Sadiq Charles, who I don't even know who that is, really. I mean, I now know who he is because they signed him, but I have no opinion or thought on that. Mason Rudolph and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, but the big story in the same release is that they released Andre Dillard. Unbelievable. Adam in Portland says, Ran hates you and wanted to stick it to you. Ran isn't terrible. You've evaluated him too quickly. He hasn't had the time to be trash yet. First of all, the thing that I think gets a little misconstrued, and I'm not, I mean, again, let's see. I promised everybody I'd give Ran a second chance, so we're going to see. And so far, free agency, for the most part, outside of Mason Rudolph, for the most part, I am okay with free agency. Let's see the draft. But everybody, what was amazing to me was when I said that I would move on from Ran at the end of last year, it wasn't that I came out and said they need to fire Ran Carthon. What I said was they needed to clean house. That included Vrabel and Ran. And then everything turned into just Ran. Right? It became all about him. When I got up there and said, hey, at the end of the year, I'm fired. They lost to the Texans after they lost to the JV Texans. I said, if I owned this football team on Black Monday, they'd both be gone. That collaboration that we knew was never going to work, I'm like, they'd both be gone. And everybody got caught up in the Ran aspect of it. But I was talking about that whole Fakakta collaboration that they thought was going to work that had no prayer. That's what I was talking about. Now, again, that does mean firing Rand, but what they did was they promoted him, made him executive vice president. And we talk about Andre Dillard. What did he do last year to get promoted? So this idea that I evaluated it too quickly, I was just saying, I don't like this idea that, you know, the coach and the GM get hired separately, because then the second that you do that, like if they end up stinking this year, and it becomes obvious that Rand can't do the job, and he gets booted out the door. Now what? You have to hire a general manager to work with a coach you just hired last year. And I think that's stupid. I think you just should have started over. But as we remember Andre Dillard, we should never forget how much the new personnel consultant of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Vrabel, believed and loved Andre Dillard.
Andre Dillard... You know, is a player that we feel like his best football is in front of him with a new opportunity. Very skilled pass protector, which is something that we have to improve on. We have to be able to protect our quarterback. Bad things happen. We've all seen it. We've always talked about it. So I was excited to be able to add him.
I mean, we're 2 days in, so. And I think if he keeps working against Arden, I think he'll be just fine. Arden's offered us a lot of just impact over there just in a short time. I mean, we don't have pads on and they're not sacking a quarterback, but I know that, you know, Arden's able to mix moves, and so he's getting multiples moves and just different looks and, you know, wiggle, long arm, chop, everything you can give him. So that will take all we can get.
Mike, how would you evaluate Andre Dillard's progress to this point and how have you seen him take coaching?
He's a very coachable player.
I mean, I go in there in the morning just to check in with Haas, and he's in there before the meetings just getting early jump on the installation. Those are things that he likes to do to be able to, you know, make sure that he's sound on whatever installation they put in the night before. And I think he has improved. I think every day that he's out there, he's gotten better. So we'll just keep working and keep going. But he's out there every single day and trying to get in condition and up to the standards in which we've set, you know, about effort and about finish, and, you know, and then again, all the tech athletically, he's got all the skills, and then now just making sure that, you know, he continues to progress each and every day.
I'm so glad that part of my life is over of having to challenge that. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us next. His thoughts on free agency, what's left to get. We'll do that next. Live out here at Pinewood Social downtown at Stillman & Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company live out at Pinewood Social again for Pinewood Madness, and we are giving away two tickets to tomorrow's SEC semifinals in the 5 o'clock hour. You have to be present. They got free parking here and shuttle buses to Bridgestone Arena. And so I will be taking that probably today for the nightcap session, which I'm very excited about. Hey, tune into 94.9 The Fan this Sunday for coverage of the Food City 500 in Bristol. Coverage will begin at 1:30 with the race starting at 2:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. The Titans have been very active in free agency, and they finally made a move that I absolutely positive. My favorite move that they've made so far. They released Andre Dillard. So as much as I hated the Mason Rudolph signing, I love the Dillard one. Corey Curtis joins us now from News 2. Corey, let's start with this. As active as the Titans have been in free agency, do you like what you've seen? Do you hate what you see? Do you have questions about what you see? What would you say?
You know, I would say I've largely liked what I've seen, knowing it's not a finished product yet. They're addressing needs. They have added some quality players. They've certainly added some players that raise some eyebrows for a number of people that you just say, okay, well, you better be right. But that's their job, is to make those decisions on those guys. And if they're not right, then they get held accountable on moves that end up happening like today.
What did you think about the Calvin Ridley signing, the money and the commitment and the expectations for somebody who had a good season last year and then pretty much missed the previous two seasons before that?
Well, I mean, you talked about that. You know, he missed a lot of time, and usually that includes shaking some rust off. And I think he was a much better player after having missed so much time than I expected him to be. You know, is he one of the top five receivers in the game? No, he's not. Is he a really good receiver? Yeah, he is. And I am one who thinks that $23 million price tag, while it seems really high, after this cycle is over, it's not going to seem like that bad of a deal. That's how much these guys make now. That's just the way it is. There is some sticker shock. I mean, I bought a car during COVID. There was sticker shock, believe me. But that's what they were going for. That's what you had to do. And if the Titans wanted to add a quality receiver, that's what it was going to cost. I think the Christian Kirk deal and Corey Davis deals even – you know, are good lessons for us. You know, we scoffed at, you know, $12 million for Corey Davis. That was nothing. That was bargain basement prices. How much did Christian Kirk get, 16 or 18 a year?
18.
Last year? 18. And we all scoffed at it. Holy cow. I was one of them. I was like, that is a horrible deal. That was a great deal. Christian Kirk has been a great player for the Jaguars for 2 years. So, look, if he's a 1,000-yard receiver, which he has to be, he's worth it. All right, he's worth it. It sounds like he's motivated. We'll see if he stays motivated. So I don't scoff at it. He's got speed. You know, he should add an element to the offense. You can certainly still go receiver in round one, but, you know, you certainly seem leveraged to go offensive tackle there now.
So Trevor Maddux was on the show earlier this week, Corey, and he said that while, you know, right tackle could be on the roster, Petit Frere is the guy he kind of circles. He's more worried about defensive line at this point than he is offensive line. My question to you is, it's Simmons and a bunch of nobodies, so how worried are you that the Titans have not been even active in, like, the third level of defensive linemen that you can give, you know, 1 year, $4 million to? They have not been active in that yet. How surprised are you by that?
I'm not that surprised because, you know, they haven't put a big priority on that spot in years. I mean, you look at most of the defensive tackles they've had, they've been guys that have been like undrafted free agents or lower round guys that they've developed. I mean, Danico wasn't a defensive tackle.
I mean, he's a defensive lineman.
Yeah, but we're talking about defensive tackle, right?
I guess I'm kind of talking about to me, like, so what position would you say Simmons is? Because I think Simmons is a tackle, but he's actually a DN because he's not a nose tackle.
He's a 4-3 tackle, and he's a 3-4 end. Yeah. You know, that's kind of what he is. And what you're really missing right now is the nose. That's what you're really missing is nose or tackle. You know, and for you, you know, we've had Tart over there, we've seen, and we've also seen, you know, Naquan Jones, who they let go. Naquan Jones was a fourth rounder who was very good at that role. You know, also signing Ridley, maybe that opens you up to drafting a defensive tackle in round two. You know, maybe the big kid from Texas is there in round two, and you want to plug the 350-pounder in there. That it might give you that kind of freedom. So we wait and see. I think that this administration is very focused on scoring points. I think they're very focused on completing passes, and I think they're very focused on stopping passes. So I don't know if stopping the run is quite the paramount that it has been for the last 6 years.
Yeah, I just think that if it's just Simmons out there playing every snap, it's going to be 2020 all over again. And that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah,
where it was Simmons, possible. Landry, and nobody.
Maybe they outscore people 31-28, and that's the plan.
Good luck on that, by the way, with a rookie quarterback and no right tackle. Like, I mean, that's a – so the problem I have, Corey, is the holes right now that are still there. And they do have the draft. But, like, I'm not worried about left tackle because I think they'll fill that with that seventh pick.
Sure.
But I am worried defensive line, inside backer, corner safety, and the right side of the offensive line, I'm scared to death about. And it's the anxiety that they won't do anything to shore up those holes that I think that makes me nervous. Are you nervous about the holes that exist on the roster?
Well, I mean, sure, I would like to see those holes get filled. We're in day three of free agency. So, I mean, we're just talking about the end of the first wave. So, no, I'm not panicking that those aren't filled yet. We'll see where they go, you know, as waves two and three come through. You know, the thing we have to remember is, you know, there are still guys who get cut at this point. There are important dates for guaranteed deals where guys are going to be waived and guys can become available. So, you know, I think that, you know, there could still be more guys out there. There's certainly more signings to be made. And as you go longer in free agency, for a lot of these guys, the prices come down.
What do you think about Tony Pollard? And what do you think about Derrick Henry going to the Ravens?
I was really – am I the only one who was stunned by the Tony Pollard signing? I mean, I
you know what's crazy? No, you weren't. I was stunned when they signed Pollard because it was right out the gate that they signed Tony Pollard, when I thought running back was a position that they needed to sign somebody. I didn't think it was a position that they needed to just immediately at the first second sign somebody.
Yeah, wave two, wave three, you bring in a guy for like 2.5 because there's a lot of guys who can play that position. But clearly they put a priority on getting a guy who could, A, catch passes, and, B, can really run. I mean, he was a wide receiver in college, wasn't he?
He was a wide receiver in high school, and I believe he was like a two-star receiver prospect, and they turned him to a running back at Memphis.
Okay, Memphis, okay. But he can really run, and he can catch the football. And so, you know, clearly they've got a plan, and there's going to be a lot of touches. It's got to include a lot of touches for the backfield in both receiving and running to have both of those guys. You know, I guess you've got Spears on his rookie deal, so you figure you can afford it, but you really thought that money would be spent elsewhere. You know, I've liked Tony Pollard for years, so I'm not going to scoff at the player. I remember when he first came in, I said, he's better than Zeke right now. I'm like, you need to bench Zeke to put that guy out there because he was a lightning bolt. So I don't mind the addition to the team. I just wonder how many touches there are from two guys who are clearly a priority in getting the football.
So I have a thought on Derrick Henry and the Ravens, and I hate the move because I hate the Ravens, but I'm not sure I necessarily love the move for the Ravens for two reasons. One, they run pretty much their entire offense out of shotgun, and I don't think Derrick's good out of the shotgun. I think he's good when he's running downhill. Two, the Ravens, in my opinion, their biggest problem, they're the best team in the league when they have a lead. Before they got Derrick, they were the best team to grind you out when they had a lead. Their problem is they can't play catch-up because Lamar cannot throw with the top quarterbacks in the league, And I don't think Derrick Henry helps you play catch-up. So I don't think this is as good as it sounds on paper of putting Derrick Henry with Lamar Jackson. What are your thoughts?
Well, number one, I have said from the get-go, and I don't think this makes me a genius, that he was going to go to the Ravens. It's absolutely the team that made the most sense, and it's absolutely the team that has shown the most interest. So everybody who brought up Dallas or wherever, I'm like, he's going to be a Raven. This is going to happen. And also think about it. He has handed it to the Ravens several times in his career. So they've seen the best of Derrick Henry. And so they know exactly what they're getting. And I don't blame them for wanting it. I agree with you. Not the best out of the shotgun. Not going to improve their passing game. You know, clearly they've got a plan for how he helps their offense. But here is something that we haven't talked about with this. What is the one thing? It's not the one thing. One of the things that Derek has been wonderful with for the Titans is durability. And they have gone through running backs, like the Titans have gone through wide receivers and kickers and quarterbacks.
Right tackles.
You know, they've had some good ones. They just can't ever keep them healthy for whatever reason. And now you've got a guy who's had one real injury in his 8 years of the National Football League. So he will bring them durability. And they have to know how to deal with him being a bullseye, because he'll still be a bullseye back there. He's 245 pounds, and he's unmistakable. And everybody knows the plan now, and that's get him 3 yards deep. And so how do you take advantage of that? That's the challenge that's in front of the Baltimore Ravens.
Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis, News 2, is our guest on the program. Corey, what's your hot take this week?
I was debating in my head what's the worst free agent signing in Titans history. And I kind of weigh one for another, and you know, because it's not just financial. I think Andre Dillard has to be the worst free agent signing ever for the Titans, because he was handed such an important part of the offense, and he completely failed. And I feel like you could have made three calls to three separate people, a coach, a sportscaster, and a fan in Philadelphia, and they all could have told you the same thing, that Andre Dillard doesn't love football. And for a team that championed does he love ball to completely whiff on something that was obvious to so many is horrific. And given a lot of money and really a cornerstone piece in destroying your offense for a year. You know, look, I could have told you that Vic Beasley was a bad signing when it happened, that I questioned how much he really cared. But they didn't have to have Vic Beasley. They had to have Andre Dillard. And they got him, and he was horrible.
So I wrote down three names as you were talking as, like, the worst free agent signings in Titans history. Vic Beasley was one of them. Vic Beasley, yep. Andre Dillard, David Givens.
But David Givens got hurt. I mean, I can't bemoan a guy because he got injured. The other guys just didn't care. They took your money and said, sweet, I'm out.
I will never forget when Vic Beasley didn't show up to the start of training camp and they had to put him on the suspended list. And he had like a couple of days to opt out of the season for COVID. And the old man was like, I think it was during a break. He was like, as a GM, I'm thinking about how we just paid him a $3 million signing bonus. And if he opts out for the season, we can't get that signing bonus back.
Wasn't it $10
million? I think the signing bonus was $3 million, but the salary was, you know, $7 million or whatever.
I remember when they signed him, I'm like, that dude doesn't care. I mean, this team, because I remember J-Rob and Vrabel over and over again, does he love ball, does he love ball? I mean, what are they doing? That guy doesn't care. This is not their mantra. And wasn't that the same year they signed Clowney?
Yes.
I'm like, why are you signing both of them? Holy cow.
Well, you thought they'd be back in the AFC Championship game if they signed Clowney. I tried to help you out there. That's why I love you.
They've gotten from him what they got, you know, with Browns got a pretty good year from him this year, didn't they?
Ravens.
The Ravens got a good year from him.
They did.
Ravens. Yeah. But, you know, he's surrounded by some really good pieces, but showed up. I was wrong on that one. But you know what? If they'd had Brady, maybe they would have been in the Super Bowl anyway.
Exactly. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, joining us on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey, great stuff. Appreciate you.
Have a great weekend.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Mike Vrabel has a new job. Yes, he's got a new job. We'll get into that coming up next. Again, we are live out at Pinewood Social. Let's talk about Twice Daily. That's right. I love Twice Daily. That is my convenience store of choice. I have the Twice Daily app. You just download it to your phone. You save right there. In fact, they'll send you offers. You know, it'll be like a free this with a purchase today. And I'm like, all right, let's go get my free whatever it is. It's great. Twice Daily has your cravings. That's right. And not only do they have your cravings, but you can save on every visit. Stop in and get rewarded. All you need to do is join that rewards program to unlock special discount savings and enter their sweepstakes and so much more. Try their new wraps, Italian, ham and cheddar, turkey and Swiss, and Nashville hot chicken. They're made to order with your favorite toppings. And when you download the Twice Daily app, you can order ahead. Or at Twice Daily, it's snack time all the time. And they have your favorites like chicken fingers, tater rounds, and the new pretzels. Twice Daily, what are you craving?
We see that Mike Vrabel signed on to coach, do something with the Cleveland Browns. Do you know exactly what that role entails?
Yeah. First of all, really cool kind of idea, right? Because Vrabel is an excellent coach, former coach of the year, wasn't able to land a head coaching job this year, but obviously wants to be involved and is very, very good and is going to get one next year, right? I think. So he goes to Cleveland. He's going to be basically a sounding board slash, like, you know, kind of use his experience for the coaches and for the personnel department. So, you know, when you're a head coach and you're so locked in on the players, I'm not saying you kind of lose a little touch of the personnel side, and he is very, very involved, but he goes to a place that is one of the more forward-thinking places. So he gets to help the coaches or whatever and then probably learn a little bit personnel for when he gets a second chance. And, like, I feel very confident that Vrabel's going to get a second chance as a head coach. He'll have, like, a much more well-rounded
view,
resume or whatever you would say to do it. Well, I like it.
There you go. Ian Rappaport on the Pat McAfee Show. Mike Vrabel has been hired as a coaching personnel consultant for the Cleveland Browns. And I love how Rappaport's like, man, this is such a just a great forward-thinking idea to have Vrabel as a sounding board for Kevin Stefanski. Ian, do you think Kevin Stefanski chose to have Mike Vrabel come aboard his coaching staff like that?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe he would feel threatened?
I don't think the answer to that is yes. I think that that's the owner. And I think Mike Vrabel is I think Kevin Stefanski got put on notice today because his replacement is right there, and it's Mike Vrabel. And before you say, well, wait a minute, you know, he's not going to be looking for his job. He's not. Remember when you brought in Tim Kelly? Remember when you brought in Tim Kelly and he was there to help out Todd Downing? And he did for that year. And then what happened? He was there to take his job. If things go poorly, he's the guy. That's what's happening here with Stefanski. Stefanski has been put on notice. And he's 37-30, even though he's two-time coach of the year or whatever, doesn't matter. 37-30, and he's 1-2 in the playoffs, was 0-1, and they got skunked by the Texans last year. And here's the reason why Mike Vrabel is there. To me, this is Jimmy Haslam getting out in front, basically hiring Vrabel so that in the middle of the year, if he doesn't like the way things are going, he can fire Stefanski and put Vrabel into coach, and he doesn't have to compete with everybody else for Vrabel, because then once the season is over, he'll interview David Shaw, and then he'll hire Mike Vrabel to be his coach. That's what's going on here. And here's why it's Vrabel. Because I think Stefanski's a fine coach. But the biggest problem the Cleveland Browns have right now, they have a great roster. They have a great defense with Jim Schwartz. They have great players. You all know that. Stefanski is not the problem, by the way. The problem is that the owner stupidly traded for Deshaun Watson. And so because of that Deshaun Watson trade, they have to make this work. Because Deshaun Watson practically owns the team for the next 3 years. He co-owns it. And I said it when they signed him to that fully guaranteed contract. I said, Deshaun, if it doesn't work out, Deshaun's not the one who's going to be getting the boot. It's going to be the coach. And Mike Vrabel may not be the greatest strategist in the world, but I promise you he knows how to work with Deshaun. That's why Mike Vrabel is there. He's not a sounding board. Mike Vrabel is the definition of an old dog can't learn new tricks, and you know it. Personnel consultant. What the hell does Mike Vrabel know about personnel? He never did it. He's there as the coach in case in Cleveland. And I think this had nothing to do with Stefanski. I promise you. Stefanski will say this was my idea. I don't think it was. All right, we're to your phones next. 615-737-1025. Add the Vrabel thing to the list. I think he's going to be the next coach of the Cleveland Browns if Stefanski doesn't basically turn it around with Watson. I mean, I thought the Browns had a great year last year, all things considered. And they fired the offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt. Somebody had to get the boot. And so I think that if Deshaun's not right next year, it's going to be Stefanski's butt, and Vrabel's going to be the coach. 615-737-1025. We're to you next. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Fireball Whiskey. That's right. It is the weekend, folks. And there's no better way to celebrate than with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's right. I love Fireball Whiskey. It goes down so smooth, and it tastes so great. There is no better way to ignite the night than to do it with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's right. So if you're out this weekend and you're celebrating, be sure to order up some Fireball shots. That's Fireball Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Dominic Company, we are live out of Pinewood Social. Again, giving away SEC basketball tickets for tomorrow, so come on out to win that. The NCAA tournament is right around the corner, and it's time for you to sign up and play the official 102.5 The Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracketchallenge or the 102.5 The Game app and sign up for your chance to win four-day passes to Bonnaroo. I promised phones, and phones we go. Mike is up next here on our program, 615-737-1025. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Jared. Something occurred to me yesterday while I was listening to you furiously pull theories out of your butt. One was that you had deal. I can't say without laughing. You had Raiders playing right tackle and getting. I guess we're getting rid of Nicholas Petit-Frere, which he's been up and down. Whatever, a lot of down. That's not happening. Raiders going to be your right guard, as Trevor said. I'm going to go with what Trevor says, who's actually played right guard, not just used right guard deodorant. Nicholas Petit-Frere is going to be your right.
Why are you so mad about that?
I'm not mad.
You seem pretty mad.
I'm not mad, dude. This is how I talk.
Okay. Now, so you think Raidens is going to be the starting right guard, and you're okay with that?
I'd rather have him at right guard and the right tackle, for God's sake, and you want to put him at right tackle.
Well, I mean, I just think that Petit-Frere freaking sucks. That's why I don't want him at right tackle.
Before you cut me off, I know you're quick on the trigger. I got one more and I love your show. I respect you. You're good at your job, buddy. I'm not mad. All right. The other theory that you pulled out was that they're going to get rid of Burks because Burks doesn't play slot, right?
Correct.
Look it up. He played more slot than anything in Arkansas, where he was a Biletnikoff Award candidate.
Yeah, but they don't care about that. Like, they don't care. Peter Skoronski played tackle in college. It doesn't matter. They drafted him to be an outside guy. He plays on the outside. Mike, thank you for your call. Burks is an outside guy. That's all Burks does. Burks doesn't run routes. Burks runs deep, and you don't put a guy in the slot who does not run routes well. That's why, again, the throws, they think about all the catches Burks has made over the years, right? They're all from the outside, and they're all him going deep. Has there ever been, you know, these kind of crazy combative catches like DeAndre Hopkins makes? No, because that's not his game. He runs by the guy, or he tries to jump over the guy. That is what his game is, and that in the NFL is on the outside. This idea of, well, he played it in college, right, and so did Peter. He played tackle in college, and they're not going to let him play there in the NFL. I think the reason they're going to move Treylon Burks is because they probably view Burks as a fourth or fifth round type player. And so they'll get a fifth round pick in exchange for Burks, and then they'll say, well, we can just draft a receiver now in the fourth or fifth round with the pick that we got for Burks, and we'll have that guy for the next 4 years as opposed to Burks, who you'll have for the next two. That's it. And on the Raidens and Petit-Frere front, if you've listened to this show at all, you know I don't want either guy. I think they both free. I mean, Raidens, I think, is limited. And I think Petit-Frere stinks, and I don't think Petit-Frere has it right here in the chest, because Gentry Estes keeps harping to me that when he, I think he was covering Georgia at the time or Alabama at the time. You know, Gentry used to be in Louisville, and then he was covering, I think, Alabama, and he was covering Georgia before then. And Gentry said that Nicholas Petitfrere was the number one offensive line recruit in the country. And that when that was going on, he had offers from everybody. Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State. And the guy ended up going in the third round. He's got first round tackle measurables. And he goes in the third round. And Gentry said to me, he's like, that's a red flag. And I agree. And I've seen it in his play. Petitfrere does not have that, what Taylor Lewan had in him, that sometimes was a little too much. He doesn't have that in him. And I don't think Bill Callahan can get that out of him. I mean, there's no doubt that Petitfrere has more talent than Raiden's, but he's got more talent than a lot of guys on the team. That doesn't mean that he's going to be any good. And so I would not want him playing right tackle for this team next year. The idea, and a lot of you guys are okay with fudging it. You know, oh, well, you know, Bill Callahan will fix it. I'm like, ugh. Not sure how that makes me feel. Dylan and Antioch's up next. Thank you for waiting. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, what's up, Jared? That last caller, man, he got me fired off. That was good stuff. But I want to call in and talk about the Mason Rudolph thing. It's a terrible, terrible trade. I don't know how anyone is defending this. This guy is best known for getting his head bashed in by Myles Garrett in a playoff. Was that a playoff game, I think?
No, it was a regular Thursday night game.
Thursday night, that's it. But, yeah, this, like, the backup quarterback is maybe the most, like, that's an extremely important position. Everyone's like, oh, he's just a backup. Yeah, he's just a backup. You need a veteran backup. You send this guy in, he's going to get killed, and Levis is going to get hurt. I don't see how people do not understand that.
Here's what I don't understand, Dylan. Dylan, good call. Here's what I don't understand on the Mason Rudolph front. How did all of a sudden he go from freaking terrible, which he has been for like the first 5 years he's been in the NFL, to an acceptable option to have to play on a team that has had to use their backup quarterback for a significant portion of the season each of the last 2 years? Like, again, his career history. Drafted in the third round by the Steelers in 2018. Ben gets hurt in 2019. He gets put in. He sucks. He gets benched for Duck Hodges, who retired like 3 years ago. And Duck Hodges was a sixth-round rookie. He gets benched for Duck Hodges. Then Ben comes back. He sits the bench. Then Ben retires. They draft Kenny Pickett. They sign Mitchell Trubisky. Kenny Pickett gets hurt. Trubisky gets the nod because, again, the Steelers have decided that they think Trubisky is better than Pickett. Trubisky, or Rudolph, Trubisky sucks so bad that finally they pull the plug on Mitch Trubisky and they put Mason Rudolph in there. Mason Rudolph wins a couple of games. Again, I didn't see him. I couldn't tell you what happened. Jake Browning won a couple of games last year. Josh Dobbs has won a couple of games. Mason Rudolph wins a couple of games, and they just decide, we still don't want to bring him back. They don't even have a backup quarterback right now, and their starting quarterback is Russell Wilson, and he sucks. What are we doing? What are we doing here? I mean, it's just freaking ridiculous. And so the Titans, with an injury-prone starting quarterback, with all these potential backup quarterback options on the market, the Titans, with an injury-prone backup starting quarterback, decide to sign this guy who the Steelers demoted to third string for 5 years and weren't interested in bringing back after he won three games for them last year in favor of Russell Wilson. And now who knows who the backup in Pittsburgh is going to be? He stinks. And everybody's like, well, Jared, it doesn't matter. It's just backup quarterback. Backup quarterbacks play nowadays because all the quarterbacks get hurt, especially your quarterback. Oh, well, Jared, he won some games for the Steelers last year. Everybody wins games for the Steelers. That's the whole point. Tomlin, it doesn't matter how bad their team is. He'll win nine games and get in the playoffs every year. That's what makes Tomlin Tomlin. I've never seen anything like it. Mason Rudolph. Sean says if Levis goes down, they'll put in Willis. That'll get you fired. And let me say this, and I'm glad somebody brought this up, because I am going to be completely honest with all of you right now. Ian, I am not a believer in getting anybody in trouble for something that hasn't already happened. You know, that idea of like, you know, you did this, but it hasn't happened yet. So this is a promise that will come to reality if Mason Rudolph ends up having to play this year and stinks.
Okay.
I will be merciless.
How many games are we talking here if he has to play?
I don't care. If it's Blaine Gabbert Sunday Night Football playing the finale against the Colts, Rand Carthon will get it like he has never gotten it from me. He will get it the way John Hines got it. They got me in trouble. Like, that's how bad he'll get it if Mason Rudolph has to go in there when it matters and he sucks, which is what I am anticipating. I mean, you guys remember that Sunday Night Football game against Indianapolis, win and in, and big game Blaine was in there, and he stunk. So bad that the Titans are like, okay, we have to go get a real backup quarterback.
Surely he's better than Blaine Gabbert.
I don't think he is.
He can throw, at least.
I think that's who he is. I don't think he can. I think that's who he is. I think he is the Blaine Gabbert. I mean, I think Rudolph, this is such a joke that they signed Mason Rudolph. All right, 615-737-1025. The Vols. I got on the bandwagon with this team, and they lost on Sunday or Saturday at home to Kentucky, and they got their asses kicked in the SEC tournament. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, live from Pinewood Social, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.